Tam's tshuva in the mitzvah of vidui, and then we have the Minchas Chinuch's view that it's not even a mitzvah to do tshuva, that if you do it, you got to do it a certain way, like shechting an animal. And then we have Rabbi Yonah's point that even if there's not a mitzvah the whole year, there is a mitzvah of Yom Kippur. But Rabbi Yonah, by the way, also in Pratikus says there is a mitzvah the whole year. Rabbi Yonah makes the point, a scary point, that if a Melech, Baser Adam, gives you a most precious gift, and you simply throw it back at him, that is the greatest act of disrespect that one could do. Tshuva is a great gift. If one does not take advantage of that gift, that itself is an Aveira, that Rabbeinu Yonah says, is much greater than all of the Aveirot for which you have to do Tshuva in the first place. In fact, it's very interesting. There's a word from Rizal Salanter's favorite, famous Talmud. Rizal Salanter had many Talmudim, and his three most famous was Rav Simcha Zissel, the Alter of Kelim, as he was called, and Rav Yitzchok Petterberger, Rav Yitzchok Glazer, who was the chief rabbi of St. Petersburg for a while, but then spent his last years in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and Rav Naftali Amsterdam. So Rav Yitzchok Glazer, who was really the he was the one who put Rizal Salanter's sichot into written form, raised the following question. It's interesting. What does the Gemara say about Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, if you are a tzaddik gamor, you are sealed for life. If you are the guy of a rasha gamor, there's a chatzimah lemita for death. We discussed that the other time. But then it says, if you're a benyamin, middle of the road person. So what happens? So Hashem looks at what we do during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. If we do tshuva, we will be given favorable life. If that's what we don't do tshuva, we may not be zocha. Rav Yitzchok Petterberger asks the following question. Wait a second. Beinoni, the Rambam defines, is a person that's a 50-50 state. However, we calculate that. So if I'm 50-50, why do we say it's only tshuva that will give me the benefit of a favorable judgment? Let me do any mitzvah, because if I'm 50-50, once I do any mitzvah extra over my aveirot, I've got to be sure I'm in a net positive position. But as long as I'm one ahead, I should be a tzaddik right now. So why does it say tshuva? So Rav Yitzchok Petterberger says very simply, the Rambam himself tells us that it's very, very obvious that Hashem does not simply add up things. Rather, there's a qualitative weighing. There might be a mitzvah that overrides hundreds of aveirot, and there might be an aveira that overrides hundreds of mitzvot. Only God knows. Rav Yitzchok says, the aveira of not doing tshuva when Hashem is accepting is such a horrendous aveira that no matter how many mitzvot you would do, the aveira would be greater. Meaning to say, by definition, you cannot be in a net positive. In other words, theoretically, all you need to do is be a net positive. He says it is impossible to be a net positive if one does not do tshuva when you have that opportunity. So that, again, is going for Rabbeinu Yonah, that not doing tshuva is in itself even greater than the aveirot for which one doesn't do tshuva. But again, as I say, this is, in a sense, academic, because whether it is a mitzvah or not, the gift is there, the opportunity is there. How could a person not take advantage of that?
Isn't there an obligation to do tshuva? Tshuva isn't a single act. Tshuva is an act on every aveira.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I'm going to do tshuva, you have a requirement to do tshuva.
To everyone.
Right, so how can one say that tshuva, it's almost impossible for a human being to do tshuva on each and every single aveira that a person would do. So then, unless you assume that the theme of tshuva is a single act, how can one do tshuva on every single thing that a person does?
I think it's both. Tshuva, of course, is aveira specific. But tshuva is also a mindset that I want to change, I want to improve. There is a generic tshuva as well. That is the commitment that I want to change myself, I want to improve, I want to be a better person. That it has to pursue, really, with specific focus. In fact, there's a beautiful thought from the Maharal. Again, we're going to start Slichos this, Shabbat, and we know that one of the most important themes of the Slichos is the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, the 13 principles of mercy, 13 attributes of mercy, of divine mercy. In fact, the truth of the matter is, we sometimes have a wrong view of what slichot are. We think slichot are the piyutim, and at the end of every piyut you say, you know, the yud gimel midos of rachamim. It's really exactly the opposite. The original tachana of slichot was the recitation of the yud gimel midos of rachamim, which were then embellished with various piyutim. The piyutim are very secondary to the yud gimel midos of rachamim. And in the Yud Gimel Midot of Rachamim, it starts off, these of course are the midot that Hashem taught Moshe when there was the Chet HaEgel, in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. And it begins with Hashem, Hashem. And there are many, by the way, it's not so easy to count 13. You have to figure out the 13 midot. There are many different calculations. Where do you start? Is it, Vayavor Hashem al Panav, Vayikra Hashem, Kama, etc. Does that count? In fact, I saw a sefer that actually said there are 13 opinions of how to count the 13 Although I think the author was being cute because in the rest of the essay he actually came up with a 14th way. I think he wanted to add a square of 13 and 13, actually more than 13. But if we go with the standard interpretation, Hashem Hashem counts as the first three. And the Gemara itself says, because Hashem is the Rachamim, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why does it say Hashem twice? So the Gemara says, one midah is, I am the Hashem that has mercy on a person before he sins, and I am the Hashem that has mercy on a person when he sins and does tshuva. So the Rush asks a very simple question, why do you need a midah of rachamim before a person does tshuva? There are a lot of answers. One answer basically is, Hashem knows you're going to sin and Hashem doesn't punish you. Another answer the Maral says is life is mercy, even if I didn't do anything to be guilty. It's rachamim, it's a gift. But this, however we look at the first midah, what is the second midah? I am the Hashem that has mercy on a person, kishe ya'aseh tshuva. So that's midah number two. Midah number two is the gift of tshuva. Let's go to midah number 13. Midah number 13 is the nakeh. God exonerates us. Now, the truth is, that's cutting a pasuk a little prematurely, because really what it says is, v'nakei lo yinakei. And the Gemara asks, is it v'nakei or is it lo yinakei? Does he exonerate you or does he not exonerate you? So the Gemara says, v'nakei. He exonerates shavim, those who do tshuva, lo yinakei le'eno shav. So the Maral asks the kasha, why would that last thing be there in a pasuk that's dealing with rachamim? In other words, what is the rachamim that Hashem doesn't exonerate the guy that doesn't do tshuva? Why is that rachamim? Now maybe that's why we don't say it. So the Maral says a beautiful pshat. And he also asks another kasha. If the nakei means Hashem exonerates you if you do tshuva, isn't that a duplication of the second? Because you look, well, I'm just in terms of the second and the 13th and the 13th, or the 12th. The second Hashem is, I am the Hashem that forgives you if you do tshuva. So what is v'nakei l'shavim? Maral says a beautiful pshat. He says, there's a big difference between midah number 2 and midah number 13. Midah number 2 is when a person does tshuva on every single aspect of his life. And he totally becomes a new person. Then Hashem says, you're a new briah. So the old book is destroyed, you're new, total tshuva. But what if a person can't do a total tshuva on everything? What if a person still has many averes, but he says, this year I'm only going to work on this one? Or I'll move a little bit, but I can't be totally transformed. You're not a new briah in such a case. Is there a gift of tshuva? That is the 13th midah. Look at the Maral says. When it says, the nakeh l'shavim, the eino menakel the she'eino shavim, it does not mean you have two people, Reuben does tshuva and Shimon doesn't do tshuva. It means if you have a Reuben and in some of his life he does tshuva and in some of his life he doesn't do tshuva, Hashem still recognizes the tshuva for what he did. So the Maral says, the lo yinakeh is not a threat. If you don't do tshuva, you're going to be punished. The lo yinakeh is defining a new midah of rachamim, that there is such a thing called partial tshuva. That's exactly the chilek between the second midah and the 13th midah. And that's why the Maral says, which is not our minhag, the Maral says that you should properly end the Yud Gimel Midas with v'nakei lo yinakeh. He even goes further, he even suggests you want to say kokain, avon, avot, because then it's not going into negative stuff. Kokain, avon, avot, al-bri is a whole different calculation, because he says that's also a mercy. What's the mercy? That God punishes the children for the sins of the parents? How is that merciful? Well, merciful, the Maral says. It's merciful for the parents, maybe, but not for the kids. So the Maral says, no, he says that's another midah. Again, he goes into Halalicha, because that's a midah where God disperses punishments over long generations. So instead of, God forbid, something very serious happening to one person, there might be just a little bit of, you know, you have cold coffee, you're stuck in traffic, we don't realize, you know, little things might happen, trivial things, but it happens over many, many generations. That's a midah of rachamim, kokei davon avos, al banim, there's a dispersal, it doesn't mean the same intensity. So he has a whole thing, that he would extend the yud-gimel midah much longer than we have it. He also raises halachic issues, that you're not supposed to cut psukim in half, and these are different issues. Okay, but I just wanted to mention it for the idea of partial tshuva versus total tshuva. So this is the different opinions regarding tshuva. But be it as it may, when the Rambam enumerates the elements of tshuva, the Rambam does enumerate, it's a famous group of four elements. There has to be chayrata ala'avar, regret over the past. Kabbalah ala'atid, there has to be resolution to the future. There has to be azivat achet, which basically means the present, that past, present, future. I don't get involved in it now. And it culminates in the requirement of vidui, of verbal articulation. The Rambam is very emphatic. Even if you do all the other three, which we think are the more important ones, and it does not culminate in a vidui, that is not considered a valid fulfillment of the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva requires vidui. One might ask theologically, what is so important about vidui? Now, we're not talking about confession to a person, right? That's the other religion, but this is confession to God, but it has to be out loud, or, you know, verbalized. And part of that is because it is true that until we sometimes verbalize something, even to ourselves, it does not become a real reality, it does not become mamash. And to become a mamashut to us, there has to be that sense of, you know, I did it, say the words, this is what I did. And it's not just Yom Kippur, the Rambam says every time we do tshuva, which is why some people, well, Sfardim, for example, say a shamnu, they say a vidui before tachanun every day. Some people say vidui before they go to sleep, etc. I mean, something that one should think about. And if one has a particular chait, it's nishkefelech. There's nothing wrong with saying a vidui for that chait in the middle of the year. You don't have to wait, as it were, till Yom Kippur. But the Michas Chinuch asks a famous question. This is one of the famous Michas Chinuch questions. He asks the question from a Gemara in Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara in Maseches Kedushin has a whole discussion about people who marry on conditions. We don't do this today for a number of reasons. But let's assume, for example, I want to get married, but my kala is not sure about my economic prospects, or I'm not sure. So I might say, Hareyat Mekudeshetli, you are married to me, almanat, on the condition that I get this job. Meaning to say, if I don't get the job, you don't need to get, just, you know, we're not married. Conditions, like they even discussed by Aduna, would it be possible to marry on a condition that, you know, you're married to me only if I give you a get when our marriage dissolves, and if I don't give you a get, you're not married at all. These are different hatsa'ot that are going around. That doesn't work. Don't walk away. But without getting into that. So let's say a person marries a woman and says, Hareyat mekudeshet li al manas shani tzadik gamur. I am marrying you on the condition that I am a perfectly righteous person. Meaning, if I'm not perfectly righteous, we're not married. So the Mishnah says, Afilu hayar rasha gomor. Even if he's an absolutely corruptible rasha, it is considered to be at least a doubtful marriage. The woman would need a get. Why? A minute ago he was a rasha. The answer the Gemara says is, Shema hir her shuva oliva. Maybe the minute he gave her the ring, he was thinking in his mind, I want to do tshuva. So even if a second before he was doing the worst aveiros, and a second after he's doing those aveiros, so when did he become a tzaddik? He was a tzaddik for the moment that he gave her the ring. Perhaps, we don't know. Perhaps because the tshuva would instantaneously transform him into a tzaddik. So he was Russia, Tzaddik went back to Russia again. This is a Tzaddik, we're not saying for sure, but because of this possibility, she would have to have a get. So the Michas Chinuch asked the following kasha on the Rambam. According to the Rambam, even if you do all the mental states, charata, regret over the past, resolution over the future, and aziva tachet, unless you say vidui, you have not done the mitzvah of tshuva. So if you have not done the mitzvah of tshuva, now, let's say the woman knows, of course, if the guy went away into another room, maybe he did vidui for that second, but if she's with the guy, right before he gave her the ring, you know, he punched somebody down. And right after he gives her the ring, you know, he knifes somebody, right? So she sees there was no vidui in anything. Now, she doesn't know his mindset, but according to the Rambam, his mindset wouldn't make a difference because he didn't do vidui. So the Michas Chinuch says, how can he be a tzaddik gamur if he did not fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva? He didn't do tshuva.
And the language of the Gemara itself is Shamahira.
Yeah, the Lashon. Yeah, the Kashi is also from the Lashon. The Lashon says, here, here. Although sometimes here can be... Yeah, so the Lashon is difficult, and also the Metzias is difficult. But Maisa, he did not do vidui. So the Michas Chinuch says an interesting chiddush, and this chiddush is actually very mekubal, unlike the other chiddush of that you don't have to do tshuva. And that is, he says, you know, there are two ideas here. The obligation of tshuva is fulfilled only if you do vida. So without vida, he did not engage in the process of tshuva. 100% true. However, in terms of being a righteous person in Hashem's eyes, in terms of the purity from sin, that is accomplished by the lave. Rachamano libavoy. So therefore, it's two different issues. The tshuva accomplishes two things. Tshuva, as it were, is a mitzvah and an obligation. And that obligation has a structured pattern that needs to be met. And one of the elements of that structured pattern is vidui. And without vidui, you have not done the mitzvah of tshuva. Meaning, one will still be accountable by God for those various sins. They haven't been erased. However, to be a tzaddik in God's eyes, that depends totally on the transformation of the heart. So if he would say, that's what he said, if he would say, Hariyat v'kadeshes le'almanas, shekiyamki mitzvah tshuva, einochinami, since he didn't do vidui, he would not have fulfilled the mitzvah tshuva. But where he says, almanas, that I'm a righteous person, a person is righteous based on what they are right now in their heart, even though they have all of these averus that they haven't successfully erased. And therefore, the Michas Chinuch says, the kiyum mitzvah tshuva is not a condition in being a tzaddik in God's eyes. You're a tzaddik with a burden that you haven't shed, but you're still a tzaddik. I would suggest that the Michas Chinuch's chiddush, this is a very well-known chiddush, that one could be mekayem, one can become a tzaddik b'enei ha'makom, even if one has not done the technical aspects of tshuva. I think it's supported by the Rambam himself in Hilchos Tshuva, and that is the following. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva creates, based on Gemara and Yuma, creates a hierarchy of four types of sins. What must you do for four types of averot? And this is his hierarchy. I'll go over it relatively quickly. The most lenient category of averot is when there's a mitzvah taseh, like reading Shema or putting on tefillin, and you didn't do it. It's a sin of omission. So a sin of omission, all you got to do is tshuva, and it's erased. Nothing else. You don't need Yom Kippur. You don't need anything. Tshuva, fine. Category number two is a bit more serious, and that is when you transgress a negative commandment. So you eat chazer. That's a sin of action, a sin of commission. So for that, you need two things. You need the tshuva, and you need the koach of Yom Kippur. Meaning, I'm not forgiven till I also undergo the fasting and the deprivation of Yom Kippur, which is a get of a penance. Then there's category number three. Category number three is when you commit the averot for which the Torah gives a death penalty when there was a Beit HaMikdash, such as desecration of Shabbat, or eating chametz on Pesach, etc. Here, you need three things for a kapara. You need, as it were, tshuva, of course. You need the koach of Yom Kippur. And you also need what are called yisurim. A person has to undergo a certain amount of suffering in their life as an atonement. Now, Yisurin could be anything. Yisurin, God forbid, could be very serious things. But Yisurin can also be, you let your car in traffic, you spill a cup of